The Marcus Elliott Quartet will be releasing its second album this week, When the City Meets the Sky. It's dedicated to the city of Detroit and to the leaders who helped shape the next generation of jazz musicians. Stateside's Mercedes Mejia has this profile.
Tenor saxophonist Marcus Elliott is in his mid-20s. He graduated from Michigan State University's Jazz Studies program, and he has dedicated his life to jazz music.
It celebrates the individual inside of the context of the community. In jazz, we have soloists, and they're doing their thing, but if it wasn't for the rhythm section or the rest of the band being there, then there wouldn't be anybody to communicate with or to help lift them up. You are having this conversation with the different musicians, but at the same time, it's a feeling of really true freedom. And I think that's what I heard when I was a kid, and that really grabbed me.
You say this album is like a thank you letter to the city of Detroit. Tell me more about that.
The inspiration behind the album was to just kind of write a thank you letter, if you will, for all of the support and nurturing that I've had in the city. Since I was young, it's always been a place for me to learn and to grow as a musician. My father used to take me to like a lot of jam sessions and stuff, and he introduced me to a lot of the jazz musicians out there. So the album, it just seemed to be right for me to, especially with everything that's happening in the city right now, it just seemed like a good time to kind of like give another spin on or at least my interpretation of being in the city, and that I do that through music, so that's what this album is.
The first track off the album is Cries of a Griot. Let's take a listen. What is a griot, and what is this song about?
Cool. So a griot is a African storyteller, and he or she might do storytelling through music or verbally, or basically just an artist. And this song was specifically dedicated to all of the Detroit saxophonists, like the lineage of saxophone players that have come from the city. A very serious lineage, all the way back from like Lucky Thompson, who was there like in the 40s. To even now, some of the greats like James Carter and Kenny Garrett, and these are all saxophonists that really kind of changed the way the saxophone sounds. So this was kind of like my dedication to specifically that lineage.
When did you first discover jazz?
So, I originally was introduced to the music by my father when I was really young, like 5 or 6, and I hated it. I did not like it at all. It was just too much, too many things happening, and he would always put it on when we would drive around in the car, and I'm just like, oh gosh, like...
Do you remember what you were listening to?
Yeah, I think it was Thelonious Monk or John Coltrane or like Charlie Parker, and these are all like bebop musicians. And it just was way too much for me at the time. You know, I was listening to like Michael Jackson and Stevie Wonder and NSYNC and stuff, you know, just very, you know, easy listening things. So when I heard all that, it was just like, whoa, what is this? So that was like the first time I heard the music. And then once I started playing the saxophone, which was in middle school, we had a jazz band there. And seeing another saxophonist in the group who was a little bit older, he took a solo and he improvised. And when I heard that, it really kind of had an effect on me, because it was just amazing to see how much freedom he had inside of music. And I just didn't know that that was a possibility, the idea of improvisation, you know?
So after that moment when you realized, you know, this was it, this was your calling, what happened then?
Oh, I took it very serious. I pretty much dedicated my life to it. At that point, I would say I really started to get serious about it when I was in 9th or 10th grade, because I started to come down to Detroit a lot more. And then I actually got into this youth program down in Detroit called the Civic Youth Ensembles, which is affiliated with the DSO. I remember when I first saw them perform, and there was a bunch of young kids around my age, 15, 16, 17-year-olds, and they sounded amazing. And they were playing at such a high level. And so basically once I saw that, I was like, okay, yeah, this is what I want to do. I want to be, it was almost like they were like the cool kids or something. You know what I mean? I was like, I want to be a part of that. I want to play music at that high of a level.
Who's been a major influence in your development as a jazz musician, do you think? What musicians?
There's a few musicians. One is Rodney Whitaker. He is the jazz professor at Michigan State University. And he taught me the importance of the tradition of the music, you know, like being able to swing, being able to play the blues, you know, really understanding that this is a language. He really showed me and taught me that this music was a language. So I'm forever thankful for, you know, having the chance to work with him and meet him. And then the other person has been Marcus Belgrave. I've been playing with him for the past 4 years now in his group. And, you know, that's been a very different type of training. You know, he's not a guy that's going to, you know, sit you down and tell you, you need to do this, you need to do that. It's basically like he plays and you have to figure it out. So what I've learned from him is really the importance of melody, you know, the importance of really understanding a song, the importance of being able to sing through your horn. And yeah, that's been amazing. That's really been amazing.
Talk more about that singing through your horn. You know, you play the saxophone.
For sure.
How is it that you relate to the saxophone?
Yeah, so the thing about instruments, especially horn instruments, we're always trying to like mimic a vocalist. You know, like the first horn was basically created so that you could spread your sound farther out than what your voice can, you know. But essentially, it's just mimicking the voice. So I'm always listening to vocalists and trying to mimic that. And that's kind of what Marcus Belgrave really showed me and instilled in me, is that you have to be lyrical with what it is that you're doing, you know. That's important. And the reason why it's important is because, you know, you're trying to convey a message or you're trying to tell a story.
Well, you and the band have faithfully appeared every Tuesday at Cliff Bell's, a well-known jazz club in Detroit. I'm wondering, what are your thoughts on the current jazz scene in Detroit?
I think that the current jazz scene is strong. It's small. It's smaller than, you know, New York or Chicago, but it's very strong. And it's very strong because it has such a strong lineage and such a strong history. That's one of the main reasons why I wanted to stay, was because I wanted to really understand that history and that lineage and tap into that and be a part of that, you know? And there's currently right now a lot of young people that are sticking around and really making some amazing music. It might not necessarily be jazz, but, you know, I have a lot of friends that are making hip-hop music, techno music, bluegrass, everything. So it's really exciting time for me to be on the scene.
Is there something about Detroit jazz that sets it apart, do you think?
Yes, there is a Detroit sound. And I think that you can hear this not only in just jazz music, but in any type of music that comes from Detroit. There is just a certain tie that it has to the roots of African-American music that just, I feel that other cities, they do have them, but they have them in a different way. You know, this was such a very important city in the 20th century, you know, with Ford Motor Company and all of that. And it was such a blue-collar place, and it was kind of the ideal American city in a way. And I think that's just something that you can still even hear in the music today. You know, with the jazz music specifically, it has such strong ties to the blues. You know, you can hear that. But there's also a very large spiritual aspect to Detroit jazz musicians, because a lot of us came up through the, like, playing in churches and the gospel scene. So there's just like a certain level of proficiency and also just a certain level of spirituality in the jazz musicians playing from Detroit. That's when I can always tell, like, oh, this dude is definitely, if not from the Midwest, definitely from Detroit. You know what I mean?
Let's take a listen to one more track off your new album. This is Movement 4. You say there isn't one solo and that you're improvising together. Can you talk a little bit more about this song?
Yeah, so this is the last movement of a four-movement suite that I wrote. And the reason why this track is special to me is because it's one of the tracks on the album where we are all improvising together. Usually in jazz music, there's a soloist, and then people, you know, the rhythm section backs up the soloist. But specifically on this song, we all play the melody together, and then we kind of go into an improvisation. And the reason why I thought I wanted to put that in the music was really just to kind of highlight the idea of working together and communicating together. That's the one thing that's really beautiful to me about the Detroit music scene, and especially the jazz scene, is that it's a family, you know, and the idea of communication and the idea of sharing ideas is really strong, and especially in jazz music. It's just, it's really highlighted in that, you know.
Absolutely. And you had a lot of mentors, you know, growing up that shaped, you know, who you are today as a jazz musician, and you're paying it forward. You are the artist in residence at Troy High School. You help teach music there, and you're part of the Detroit Symphony Orchestra Civic Jazz Ensemble. What advice do you give to young musicians just starting out?
Oh, I would just say keep going. Don't stop. That's what I met Ravi Coltrane, who's the son of John Coltrane, when I was in high school. And that was just something he told me. He said, and I don't know why that out of anything stuck with me more than anything, but he just said, don't stop. You know, if you just keep going, it's going to be hard, but I guarantee you it'll be worth it. And as a person who kept going, I can definitely tell you that it's worth it. It's worth every second of it. Not only have I met so many amazing people, but I've had so many amazing experiences through this music that has been so enriching for my soul, you know. I can't imagine doing anything else. You know, this is what I love to do. I love to talk about it, obviously. And yeah.
Well, Marcus Elliott, thank you so much for coming in. The Marcus Elliott Quartet will be releasing their second album, When the City Meets the Sky, this week with a CD release show on May 8th at the Virgil Carr Center in Detroit. Marcus, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Support for arts and culture coverage on Stateside comes in part from the Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs and the National Endowment for the Arts.